Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everyone. Get in here. You're welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Oh, the knife puppy's happy you're here.
Knife puppy.
I breathe. I want you all to know that out there.
Max is a breather.
That's how I really breathe. Tim cuts all of that out for you.
It's such a process to really get it down.
Yeah. It's tough.
Knife puppy's super excited.
Knife puppy's very excited for Tapes and Scowls.
I hope this is picking up. I think it is.
Who likes Tapes and Scowls? Yeah? You like Tapes and Scowls?
She just laid down and put her paws over her eyes. Like, no, that's not
her. No, she's avoiding it. Yeah, she doesn't like it.
No, that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't either.
No. So.
Well, time to talk about some movies, Max.
Ooh.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I think the puppy wants you to go first.
Well, then we're starting with a documentary.
Ooh.
That I watched on Discovery Plus, of all places.
Interesting.
Plus. Discovery Plus.
That's right.
My first movie is Lily Topples the World.
Of course she does.
As you do. It's from 2021.
Ooh.
I watched it on October 12th. It's an hour 30, the perfect runtime.
The perfect.
And it is a documentary, like I said.
I like it.
It is directed by Jeremy Workman, starring Lily Hevish.
Hevish.
Casey Neistat and Jimmy Fallon.
Ooh.
He shows up.
Casey Neistat is at the... YouTuber?
It is.
Okay.
And you'll see why in a second. IMDb movie summary. Lily topples the world follows 20-year-old Lily Hevish, the world's greatest domino toppler and the only woman in her field, in a coming-of-age story of artistry, passion, and unlikely triumph.
Interesting.
It's about dominoes, yo.
I like it.
And I was like, I don't know if this movie would be good, but Domino's going to fall over and I'll be entertained.
Yeah.
And Domino's did fall over and I was entertained.
How do you feel about Domino's pizza?
I hate it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Fuck you, Domino, and fuck your sponsorship opportunity.
Yeah, we don't want it.
No, I don't want it. I won't eat that shit, even if I get paid. Well, that's a lie. I am not going to lie.
No, Domino's, let me know.
Domino's, we will absolutely push your product.
Yeah. I think my cardboard pizza of choice is Little Caesars.
I agree with you.
It's just a $5 pizza.
You know what? See, 100%. This is why we get along so well. Because if you're going to eat garbage, just pay the least amount of money for your garbage.
I think it's a $5 pizza. I think that's right.
And I know we're like pizza snobs here on the East Coast a little bit because we have access to any mom and pop shop makes a better pizza than these chains. But no, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So fuck you, Domino's, unless you want to give me money, in which case I will just completely tell everyone I love you.
Absolutely.
If you want the best partnership ever, you let me know.
We will lie for money.
Yeah, all the time. So basically, Lily is this 20-year-old girl. She's going to college. She's doing all these things, and she becomes a viral sensation on YouTube for her domino things.
Right.
And it's very well documented because we're in the YouTube age.
Absolutely.
Her and her own footage and whatnot, and they managed to cobble this movie together, and it is wild because it's not as much about the dominoes and all the different things because it's, you know, she's getting calls from like major corporations like, help us do a domino thing to sell our brand new, you know, blah, blah, blah that's debuting.
That's
and,
right.
Like, she's done a ton of commercials. Right. She's making all the money.
We got dessert breadsticks and we need to sell them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she probably did Domino's.
I mean, it would make the most. If they haven't reached out to them, their marketing is as bad as their pizza.
Ooh, cardboard marketing.
That's right.
But I was blown away by this documentary because I was just expecting to see a cool story, a little heartfelt thing, something different for me anyways on here. And it's so much more about like being an influencer, what comes with that. She's like, do I even finish college? Because I'm making bank right now.
Right.
And it's like, I can do college later. And her dad's like, you know, I mean, kind of want you to. But then on the flip side, he's like, let's go to Toy Fair this year and try to pitch Domino's to Hasbro. And like things like that happen.
Do you remember Domino Rally?
I do.
I love Domino Rally.
Domino Rally.
So good.
Let's motorize a car to run into a pinball that goes down a ramp and hits a domino.
I love the fact that the dominoes were all in the tray. So you just go and just flip them back over and then knock them back over again. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring that back.
You got to really want it.
Yeah.
As you see in this documentary, because she'll work with other major domino players, and when they fuck up, and you get the whole video of them building for like 8 hours.
Right.
And one thing falls over, and it's all just fucked.
Yep.
And it's like, but that's like, we're shooting this commercial. It's like, oh, you're screwed, and you have less than 3 hours to figure something out.
Yeah.
It's got to look like their logo. Good luck.
Yeah.
It is wild. So it's a high-stress kind of thing, but it's a very rewarding thing.
How does Casey Neistat get involved?
She does a domino sculpture of him.
Oh, neat.
That he knocks down.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and like she's freaking out meeting him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He seems really awesome.
Yeah.
And you watch this and all the parts with him are great.
Yeah.
It's just a super cool story. I didn't think was going to be so much about being a YouTube influencer and just how that changes your life, what sure. comes with it. And the domino stuff is awesome, of course.
That's cool.
So definitely check this out if you want something lighthearted, a little more fun. I won't spoil how it ends because it hits a certain point. It's like, oh, how did she do? You know?
Pun intended.
Right.
Ding, ding.
I like when you say ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Did I even talk about my bullet points? I don't think I did. Let me see.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Nope. I got them all.
Nice.
So, IMDb, 7.3.
Nice.
Rotten Tomato critics, 46 of them. You want to guess it?
95%.
93%.
Damn.
I think that's awesome.
Agreed.
There's less than 50 audience members, though, so it doesn't technically have a score.
Oh, wow.
For the audience. That's really weird.
It is.
I'm sad about that. I gave it an 8.0.
I
loved this movie. And I thought it was just going to be like a throwaway thing. Like, I just want to learn a nice thing and see some dominoes fall down. And it actually was so much more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like you.
2021.
Again?
Likes no one.
No.
No.
Stupid.
Definitely doesn't like Coming to America. Watch this on April 17th, 2021. It is 1 hour and 48 minutes. It is supposedly a comedy directed by Craig Brewer, starring Eddie Murphy, Teyana Taylor, and Wesley Snipes.
Ooh.
Your movie summary. African monarch Akeem learns he has a long-lost son in the U.S. and must return to America to meet his unexpected heir and build a relationship with his son.
Mm.
This summary also skips over all the stuff about his daughter, which is very important to the movie, but it was the shortest description, so I picked it to write down.
That's fair. Yeah, I hate it when they just go on for days.
Yep, then they did.
And spoil everything, usually.
Mm-hmm. My thoughts on this movie is, I like, on the whole, I think it's really neat that we're seeing these revisits of movies that aren't just like, let's just remake it now.
Right.
Like, let's just start over from scratch and remake it, because that always leaves a taste in your mouth. Like, you only have to do things again when they suck. And Hollywood does the opposite, right? Like, they remake the best stuff. So it's good to see that we're at this intersection of thoughtful either sequels or reimaginings or tie-ins to these beloved films. And I think that this is kind of exactly what you should not be doing these come up. It is a really good idea if you're going to do one of these kind of like far-flung sequels to like, of course you're going to make references to the original film, right? Like, you're going to homage it. There's going to be little references. This movie has elected to take a gigantic like spotlight and every time there's a reference, it's not subtle. It's just like every references are not payoffs.
Right.
They're not anything. You need to make the movie be able to stand on its own and assume that the average audience member probably has not seen the original. This movie goes, fuck all of that. And is just like, poof, Louis Anderson, poof, John Amos, poof, McDowell's, poof this, poof that. It's like, whoo, it is painful.
Mm-mm.
Tons and tons of callbacks, kind of. Not so much jokes as just callbacks, but James Earl Jones is in this one.
Oh, hooray. I got my wish.
His little bit in this is actually very funny. I thought his moment was very good. Overall, though, the story's super cliche. We've heard this long lost kid, and then there's a daughter who really deserves to be in the role the son's trying to be fit into, and it doesn't work, and he just wants to kind of do it. We've seen it a bajillion D times.
Not a bajillion.
A bajillion D. And it's like, this doesn't so much feel like a fairy tale anymore. It's just kind of retreading of a bunch of stuff we've seen in the past. Like, the original Coming to America is pretty cliche. Like, we've seen that, like, prince hiding who he is, but they made it work and they made it interesting and modern and fun. This, we've seen this story 100 times of somebody who doesn't want to follow in their father's footsteps and another one that does, but isn't, like, quote unquote, like, the right fit for it. And it's just like, all right, like, cool, I guess. Like, it's not like I wasn't sad I watched it per se, but I wasn't thrilled that I watched. And I think it really is kind of a hollow retread and just trying to cash in on the coming, even the title Coming to America is like, it's exactly what you'd expect from a clever that, or a title that not clever.
Right.
About as clever as my way of conveying that.
I think you conveyed it very well, ironically, by doing it that way.
IMDb, 5.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 246 critics, 49%.
Okay.
Audience, 2,500 plus. 38%.
Mm.
And I'm coming in kind of towards the audience score at a 4 out of 10.
That's definitely unfortunate.
Yeah, more crimes than successes in this one, unfortunately.
I can't wait for them to do Pluto Nash 2.
You know what? Just followed up with Norbit 2 and we're good to go.
Is there a Norbit 2? I feel like there is.
God, that probably does exist. Hurry up and talk about something else.
Well, I'll talk about something else. 2018's Malevolent.
Ooh.
This might be something you would know. It's a horror, and it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
I watched it on the 13th of October. It's an hour 29.
Mm.
Should have gave it that extra minute.
That's right.
Horror, mystery, thriller, directed by Olaf de Floor Johansson.
Of course. Get your Olaf off the floor.
Starring Florence Pugh. Pugh. There she is.
There she is.
Yep. Ben Lloyd Hughes and Georgina Bevan.
Evan.
IMDb movie summary: a team of scam artists get more than they bargained for when a job at a haunted county estate gets out of hand.
Hmm.
Very vague description, but I think that's good because it doesn't spoil things.
I like that. I like it when things are out of hand.
Yeah. They're just, this seems a little out of hand. Should we be here?
Out of hand.
Well, it is out of hand.
It's not my hands.
No, it's been taken out of my hands.
It's out of hand.
And become out of hand.
That's right.
This movie is a strange kind of idea. Basically, they're ghost hunters, right?
Okay.
And Florence Pugh, her character, her mother was like a gypsy kind of person.
Okay.
And she's since passed, and it's kind of like she's claiming that she has her mother's ability to talk to the dead, and they're using her as like a ghost hunter thing.
That's interesting. Okay.
They get called out to this house. You see them do what their scam is. Very right, very opening thing. This is how we scam you and we take your money and we pretend we're talking to your dead relatives.
Right.
When they go to this one house with this creepy old lady and the old lady calls bullshit on them, things get very real. And what I like about it is you're not sure if there's a real world kind of horror happening or if there actually is an actual supernatural thing happening.
Oh, neat.
You're very confused as to what the hell's actually going on.
That's cool.
You know, you see things that don't make sense that look clearly supernatural. You're like, are they hallucinating?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy fell down and hurt himself and he's bleeding a little bit. Like, maybe he's just imagining this.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough doubt for a good amount of the movie.
Unreliable narrator. I like it.
Yep. They do that pretty good in this. The performances are fine. It just kind of flows a little clunky.
Mm.
Visuals are good. The house seems especially gross. As a house that this old woman is living in.
Right.
It's like, she should not be in this house.
This is gross.
This is gross. This is like the Addams Family house.
Ooh.
You know, you shouldn't be in there.
No, don't be in there.
It's almost exactly what I wanted. It's really close. It does some things I find pretty clever, but it's just not quite good enough, you know? It would likely do better if wholly committed to either horror elements or a psycho thriller kind of elements.
Okay.
I understand they're playing both sides of the fence, but I don't know. The flow of it gets a little chonky.
Makes sense.
And when you get all your reveals at the end, it's just a lot. And I didn't feel super satisfied with it.
Understood.
So IMDb gives it a 4.8. IMDb loves all these kind of things.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics are higher. There's only 11 of them, but they're higher at 55%.
Okay.
The audience, 17%.
Oh, baby.
250 plus. I gave this a 5.5.
Okay.
The wife watched it with me and gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
It is a watchable movie with really great elements, but...
not enough elements to make a film.
Not enough, I'm afraid.
Not enough vest jokes.
No, more vests. From the Pugh.
From the Pugh.
One day I'll learn how to say her name.
She's great in Midsummer.
Very good in Midsummer.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2021.
Oh, no.
Yep.
I'm scared.
Stowaway.
Stowaway, okay.
Stowaway.
Stowaway.
Watch this on 5/5/21.
Whoa.
1 hour and 56 minutes. Sci-fi drama.
I like that Sam's looking at your paper like, what the hell movie is this? She's got that look on her face.
You watch this with me.
I'm waiting
to remember. Okay. Directed by Joe Penna, starring Anna Kendrick, Toni Collette, and Daniel Dae Kim. Your summary.
How disappointing. Where's Daniel Day-Lewis?
He's not in this film.
Ah, so disappointing.
Poor Daniel Dae Kim.
I'm sorry.
Movie summary. A three-person crew on a mission to Mars faces an impossible choice when an unplanned passenger jeopardizes the lives of everyone on board. Oh. So the concept is there's this mission to Mars.
Yep.
And this is a semi-regular occurrence as these missions to Mars are starting to try to the beginning stages of terraforming Mars. And there's been multiple attempts back and forth. Toni Collette's the captain of the ship, and they have like one of the big payoffs is Daniel Dae Kim's character. He is plant doctor.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that's technical name is there, some kind of ologist.
Horticulturist?
Sure. And he's plant scientist, and he's trying to grow this algae on Mars.
Okay.
And so they're going on this mission, and they find out more than past the point of no return that there's actually a crew member who was prepping the shuttle and the spaceship to send them off who somehow had an accident and was unconscious in the ship, and they didn't notice him. And so the way these missions are tightly set up, there's not enough excess anything, including oxygen, for four people on this ship.
Nice.
So now the crew has to figure out what the fuck they are going to do to make it to Mars alive.
Eat the plants.
It's really a cool, it's just algae. And they, yeah. At a point, they use it to breathe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's really smart. Cool. Yeah. It's really smart. It's really tense. It's a really simple premise. The performances from the leads are all really good. They both argue, but like Anna Kendrick's like very moral. Like we can't just like, of course, you know, the thoughts are like Toni Collette's trying to get word from back from ground. What do we do? And they're just like, you're going to have to like boop this guy out the airlock because he shouldn't have been there. And it's just, and like you find out about the guy over time, like he's got a family and he was doing this job to try to, you know,
nope,
what I mean?
Nope, don't find out about him.
Very eating, sympathetic. Yeah.
You are eating that man.
It's like really, really tense the whole way through. I thought it was really a fun watch, not a fun watch, but it was an effective watch.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really engaging. You can see both sides of the argument really well.
That's
where it's
cool.
Just like, what would you, I mean, if you were on board, there's no way you wouldn't say, like, sorry, dude, you fucked up. But like, if you were the dude, you're just like, but what can we do? And they're like, it's really interesting to see all the major steps that they take to try to keep all four of them alive, which is really like an interesting thought. And they're trying their hardest. The ending gets a little bit big and kind of unbelievable, but they had to build to something. It is like a quiet, tense movie.
Sure.
Like, there's nothing crazy. Like, it's not like aliens or like the ships on fire or anything crazy we see in a lot of these sci-fi kind of like people epics. It's right. Just quiet. Like, it's the thoughts that frighten you in this movie. So, of course, they had to do something to make it visually more interesting. But it's really good and really interesting the whole way through. I thought it was really cool. Despite the kind of over-the-top third act, I still think that there's a satisfying conclusion to the movie.
That's pretty great. Ironically, in several episodes, I have the exact Mars episode, a movie that you're describing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Nice. IMDb gives us a 5.6 out of 10, so a little low.
Sure.
Rotten Tomato critics to the rescue, 102 of them give it 77%.
That's pretty good.
The audience, as you're going to find out, 1,000 plus people were not interested in this kind of thought-provoking cinema and give it a 46%.
You want me to do work?
Yeah.
You scumbag.
Fucking what? I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. It's really good.
It sounds like a pretty cool movie.
Just go in knowing you're seeing a drama that's set in space and you're not seeing, like, you know, some kind of weird alien being transported on the ship and ship blowing up. You're not seeing, like, Event Horizon. And you're seeing a much more pulled back
horizon.
Yeah. Oof. The little movie that can't, but I want it to so badly.
I love it.
I do too. It's a guilty pleasure film for sure.
We should review that again.
Oh, it's so good. Sam Neill, get at me.